North Rock Podcast.
I know many of you have been here the last few summers. We do something unique every summer, and it's actually something that I absolutely love. It's called Summer of Love. And we do it every summer. It's our opportunity to get outside of ourselves. It's nice out, and it's just an opportunity to, you know, it's so easy in our culture just to keep to ourselves and not be nice to people and not spread joy and love to the people around you. And the Bible says that there's two greatest commandments. There's love the Lord your God with every part of who you are. And the second, which he says is equally as important, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is going to be, believe it or not, Summer of Love 4. It's our fourth time doing this, which is pretty crazy to me. We've been here almost 4 years. And so this is a great thing that we get to do. And all summer long, we will be talking about the different opportunities that we have. The theme this summer, we've had a theme every summer. This summer is Love Does. Has anyone in this room read the book Love Does? Good. I see a few hands, a couple hands. This is a really phenomenal book. Go ahead and put up the next slide there. This is the book that we're going to be talking about. And I would encourage you all, if you'd like to get the most out of this summer and the most out of this series, to go to Amazon and buy Love Does. It's written by Bob Goff. And I promise you, you'll enjoy this book. It's just packed full of stories of how when you just love, God shows up and does incredible things. Kelly, do you agree? Okay, right on. So this is just an awesome book and an awesome series that we're going to be a part of, and just a great way to get to the end of the summer and look back and say, you know what? I did something meaningful, even if it's in the life of just one person. We say all the time, do for one what you wish you could do for many. And I believe with all my heart, I think it said it on that last slide, that if you love like Jesus, you'll live like Jesus. And it's the simplest way. People say, oh, I wish I was more like Jesus. And we focus so much on the things that we can't do as Christians, instead of focusing on the things that we can do as Christians, the things like just loving people and extending a hand to someone around you. So that's what this summer is going to look like. This weekend is kind of a sneak peek of what this is going to be, of Love Does. And the reason is because it's Mother's Day weekend. And I love Mother's Day weekend, and I love to talk about moms, and I love to celebrate moms. I love to celebrate moms that have had kids, moms that have kids, because it really is an incredible thing. I mean, if all we did was celebrate the 9 months, I mean, come on, that would be enough, right? Like, we have three kids, and that's 9 times 3, whatever that is. That's a lot of months where I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, you're miserable and suffering. And so it's a wonderful thing to celebrate. So this weekend is all about moms. And I'm going to talk tonight and tomorrow morning about how moms are like Jesus. Does that sound good? You guys are like, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. Not specifically, but let's go on to the next slide, or the one before that. Yeah, I'm sorry, the one before that. We're going to talk about how moms are like Jesus. I do realize, and I want to stop before I jump into this and just say something. I do realize that this can be a difficult weekend for some. There's a lot of different reasons why it might be difficult. Maybe there's someone here that's had difficulty in having children. I just want to say that this is a weekend where we can grieve with you and pray with you and just be a part of that with you. There's also some that, whether it be father or mother, that sometimes when you bring up that word, it doesn't bring up the best picture in your mind. You might not have had a mom that represents God or a mom that treated you the way that they should have. And this is a weekend also where we can just say, you know, we're really sorry about that. But God is so good, and he's the one that comes in and he takes that place in our lives when there's that lack. I hear story after story of people saying, well, I didn't have an earthly dad growing up, but I met my heavenly father. I didn't have a mom, but God came in, and the intimacy that I have with him is something that's so special. So I just want to say that this weekend, that if this is a difficult weekend for you, We're sorry to hear that, and that we want to, at the end of the service, just pray for all the moms and also pray for anyone that this might be a difficult time for. So let me start by showing you this video to kind of set up what we're going to talk about. Again, this is all about moms and how they're like Jesus. So let's go ahead and roll this video. So I want to share my opinion with you. It's just my opinion, but I know I'm right about it. I don't know any greater example of what it means to be Christ-like than motherhood and moms. On this earth, if you look at how much moms sacrifice, and I think of the countless nights up in the middle of the night, and it's funny because the bucket where the kid's about to throw up, man, I can't tell you how many times that's happened in our house. And I just believe that motherhood is such a Christ-like attribute. And so the first one I want to talk about, I want to give you four reasons that I think that moms are like Jesus. And the first one is that they see the best in us. When everybody else doesn't see it, they do. They believe in us even when others don't. My mom was one of those who didn't live always in reality on how she saw me. It was a good thing, but it was an interesting thing. And even the last time that she was here at our house, I heard her talking to Amy, my wife, and she said, Jeremy was the best player on every team he was on growing up. And I walked in the room, and I was like, Mom, that is not even close to being true. I said, there were some teams where I was the worst. And she's like, oh, no, you weren't. You were the best player. And there's just something about moms that even if your son's riding the bench the entire game, they see that as awesome, right? My son is so good at keeping that bench warm. He is so good at that. He's the best on that team of keeping the bench warm. And there's just something about moms that just, they just see us differently, don't they? And I believe that with all my heart that Jesus is the same way. Look at his disciples. Look at how he picked his disciples. I mean, he handpicked his disciples, and he went after the misfits, the outcasts, and he'd walk up to me and say, "You, come and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men." He's inviting them to be his disciples. And I would imagine that a lot of them were like, "Me? Yeah, you. But I'm a fisherman. Yeah, you're exactly what I need. You're like my number one draft pick." And they're like, "There's no way that's possible. I didn't even make it in the social culture that I am. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing today, because I wasn't good enough to do some of the other things." But it's something that Jesus, it's what I love. One of the aspects I love about Jesus is he looks at you, he looks at everyone in this room, he looks at me, and he sees something that others don't see. And he looks at you and he's so proud of you, and he thinks, "Man, I can use this person." I had a friend who would always say, "Look at you, a face only a mother could love." And it's like, "Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's not very nice, but it's true. Like, my mom loves my face." And there's just something about that. There's just something about having that in your life. The second thing is that they see beyond our flaws. We all have flaws, don't we? We all have those things that where we fall so short. And like I said earlier, sometimes it can be denial with our parents. You guys have seen that. It's like, have you ever seen a parent where the kid's running around like stabbing people with a pencil and the parents are just like, "Oh, he's so cute." You know, it's like, "Come on, he's killing people. Get a hold of your kid here," right? But there's something kind of, it's kind of something inspiring about the way that moms just see beyond the flaws and see beyond the imperfections. They believe in us, and they believe in us even despite our imperfections, even despite the things where we really mess up. But I think the heart is there, and it's the heart that's focusing not on our mistakes and our flaws, but they see the future of what can be. And I think God has given mothers a very powerful, specific ability, unique ability, to see things in our kids that no one else sees. And we're going to end with a video here where you're going to see this powerfully of someone that many of us know today that is actually thriving. How is Jesus like this? Well, I think of so many stories, but one of my favorite stories is the woman caught in adultery. And if you know the story, it's in John chapter 8, and these people bring this woman to Jesus, and they say, "This woman was caught in the act of adultery. She's a bad person. She's a sinner." And they all have rocks in their hands ready to stone her. And they say, "Jesus, what are we supposed to do? The law at that time said we would stone someone that was caught in adultery, so we're ready to do that." And Jesus pauses and stops, and you know, the famous story talks about him writing in the sand, and no one really knows what he's writing in the sand. Some might say he began to write the sins of some of the people who were holding rocks in their hands. Then he looks at them and he says, "Okay, but whoever doesn't have any sin at all, you go ahead and throw the first stone." And one by one, it says that they went away. What Jesus did was he stood up for this woman. He didn't look at her and condemn her and say, "You awful, rotten woman, what's wrong with you? You should know better." Which isn't interesting that Christians do that today. Jesus didn't do it. Why do we think we can do that? He stands up for her, and I believe with all my heart he stands up for her because he sees beyond her sin to her potential and the future that he knew that she could have. Because you know how he ends with her? He says, "Go and sin no more." And a lot of times we look at that and we see it as like, "Go and sin no more, you rotten person." No, if you look at everything that leads up to it, what "go and sin no more" means is, "Go and sin away. I believe you can do it. I believe in you. Go and live a completely different life than the one you once lived. Because I believe you can do it." I believe that statement, "Go and sin no more," is a statement of Jesus believing in the people that he said it to. Believing that they could live a different life. They see beyond our flaws. Aren't you glad? Let's just be honest here. Aren't you glad that Jesus sees beyond all your mess ups and all of the things where you fall short? Man, if he didn't see our potential, if he didn't see our future and not concerned about our past, we wouldn't even be here. The next reason I think that moms are so much like Jesus is that they're tough on us, but they still love us. And I think that that's why they're tough on us, is because they love us so much. My mom, it's so interesting because I was bigger than my mom, but I was afraid of my mom. Because she'd say something like, hey, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world. And I believed it. Like, there was something about my mom, there was an authority that my mom had that scared me. But it was a good thing, and she was tough on me at times. I remember, many of you know that my freshman year of college, I got kicked out of Bible college, because I just was, like, not serious. I was there for the wrong reasons, and I got kicked out of Bible college. Who gets kicked out of Bible college? I do. And I remember going home, and I was driving from California all the way to Colorado Springs, where my parents were living, and I was just so afraid and this is a whole nother point that I'm on right now. I'm totally messing this up. Anyway, so I got home from college, and she was there, and she was tough on me, but at the same time, she embraced me and said, you know what, you're going to get back to school next year, and you're going to go back, and you're going to be serious about it. And there was just this love, there was this tough love that she was willing to extend to me, and I'm so glad that she did. I'm so glad that she isn't just the living in denial, but that she actually also was tough on me and challenged me in my life. Jesus was tough on his disciples because he loved them. In Matthew chapter 16, it says this. He says, when he went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, is it because we didn't bring any bread? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves and having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered for that? How is it that you don't understand what I was talking about, that I was not talking about bread? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So this is one story of many where Jesus, with his disciples, kind of has to be tough on them. So what happens here is Jesus feeds the 5,000, and the disciples are there to do it, right? This happens, and then later on, they're still questioning, like, what's going on, and is it possible that this can actually happen? And Jesus comes down on them and says, why do you have such little faith when you've seen all these things happen? And I believe that there's such a characteristic in moms where, man, they're not afraid to look at their 6'5" son when they're 18, 19 years old, and point their finger in their face and say, you listen to me. I know you better than anyone in this world, and I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times we see Jesus as just being all about love, and he was all about love. But we see him in that light. We see him as just walking on, oh, it's okay. I just love you. You're so great, you disciple who has no faith. No, he would get tough on them. Because he knew that's what they needed. He knew that that's what was going to build their character. We need discipline in our lives. It makes us who we are. And then number 4 is they never give up on us. And this one means a lot to me because we talked about this last week. I was a real piece of work for a few years growing up. From the time I was like 14 to 18, I was completely disrespectful to my parents. Anybody ever been disrespectful to your parents or parents? Have you ever had any of your kids be disrespectful to you? It doesn't feel good, does it? I completely lived for myself. I wasn't living for God. And even the way that I would talk to my mom at times was just, I think back and I feel ashamed of myself. She did not deserve that, to be treated that way. And yet, it's interesting because where in a normal friendship that you have with someone, in a friend relationship, if you talk to somebody like that, it's very easy for the person to say, listen, I'm done with you. I don't need to be talked to like this. And we give up on friends. But moms don't give up on their kids. And Jesus doesn't give up on us. I lied all the time to my mom. And I have this story, and I've shared it before, but I think it's worth sharing again. I went to a concert when I was, 18 years old. It was actually a bunch of bands, but one of the bands was there was Motley Crue. And it was one of my favorite bands at the time. I liked all the hair bands. It was like 1980-something. I don't remember. I won't tell you how old I am. But anyways, it was in the 80s. It was the late 80s. And it was actually probably like 1991. Anyway, so I'm going to this concert, and my mom asked me where I was going. And I lied to her. I told her I was going somewhere else. And so I went to the concert with some friends of mine. And at the concert, it was interesting because there was all these bands, and some of them there was a feeling to their music. And I listened to everything, but there was just this kind of darkness that was in that room that night. And at one point, the entire place was like singing a song to Satan. And it was really interesting. And I was like looking around, here's this little church kid. And I'm like, what is going on here? But I found myself like kind of getting caught up in it. It was weird. It was just this kind of dangerous feeling that I had. And so I went home that night and I walk in the front door and there's my mom waiting for me on the couch. It's like 12:30 at night. She's waiting for me. She's crying. I was like, Mom, what's going on? What's wrong? And she says, where have you been? And I said, I was just at Brian's house. And she says, no, you weren't. I know that you weren't. In fact, God woke me up out of bed and said, you need to pray for your son because he's in a very dangerous place. So tell me, where have you been? And I was like, God woke you up? That's crazy, Mom, but awesome. And so I told her, and she was right. God showed her that I was in a place that was dangerous for my soul and even the environment. God gives moms the ability that they have eyes in their back of their heads, and so certainly they can be woken up. But they never give up on us, and my mom never gave up on us. I think of Jesus and the story of Peter. Peter was so close to Jesus. And said, I'm your friend till the end. I would never do anything to hurt you. I would never deny you, Jesus. And then after Jesus is arrested, right before Jesus is arrested, sometime around there, I don't know, now my mind's going, I really need to work on this. Tomorrow morning, come back, and it'll actually be good, okay? I've got two more shots at this. Anyway, so Jesus, he even says to Peter, someone's going to deny me. And he says it to all of his disciples, and Peter says, oh, certainly not me. And then we know the story that everybody's standing around this fire, and Peter's there with them, and someone recognizes Peter and says, Peter, aren't you one of those Jesus guys, those Jesus freaks? Like, you follow him, you're one of the disciples. And he says, oh, no, I'm not. He does that three times, like vehemently denies that he was even a friend of Jesus. Three times, not just once, but three times. And you know that when Peter then sees Jesus, when Jesus and Peter have a conversation after that, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Peter says, I do. He says, and then he said, do you love me? And Peter says, I do love you. And then what he does, he says, Peter, you're going to be the one on whom I build my church. You're going to be the rock that I build my church on. Here's a beautiful story of how Jesus doesn't give up on people. He didn't give up on Peter, and Peter was the one then that Jesus chose to build this church on. I think it's wonderful. So I'm going to end with this video, and then we'll have the worship band come back up. How many of you know who Kevin Durant is? Oklahoma City Thunder. Even if you're not a basketball fan, you'll enjoy this. So just recently, he accepted, just a few days ago, accepted the Most Valuable Player Award this year for basketball. And Kevin Durant is a very strong believer. I didn't get the part in there where he's thanking Jesus, but he was going for it, saying Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and it was awesome. It was just a great part. But what I want to show you is the part where he thanks his mom, because it's just powerful, and I just believe that everything he says about his mom could be said about Jesus and our relationship with him. So let's watch this and just be inspired by it, hopefully.
And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. We were stacked, the odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys by the time you were 21 years old. Everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We moved from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture, and we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street. Put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
Worship band come up, and I just want to do something here as we get ready to sing one more song. I know we already did this, but I want to pray for all the moms in this room, and just thank God for you tonight. Could you bring the lights up just a little bit more, please, Tyler? So if you're a mom, would you just stand where you're at? I know we've already done this, and I don't want you to feel embarrassed, but just stand up, because we really do want to pray for you. And if you're around someone that's a mom here, if it's a family member, even if it's not, just put your hand on their shoulder maybe, just next to you, and let's pray for these amazing, amazing, wonderful people that God has given as a gift to this world. Father, we thank you for all these moms, and we thank you that we are better people because of them. We thank you that we're here because of them, but God, as they see the best in us, Lord, remind us that Jesus, you do as well. And as they see beyond our flaws, Lord, remind us that you do as well to us, God. As they're tough on us, but still show us so much unconditional love, God, that Jesus, that's exactly what you do in our lives. And as they never give up on us, we just thank you, God, that you never give up on us either. That Jesus, you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, for every mom that's here, I pray that you would just bless them. to show them how much you love them, show them how what they are doing is so worthwhile, God, and so worthy of just us celebrating, God. Lord, I pray for any mom that has any feelings of guilt for things that maybe they've done or things that they feel like maybe they failed in. Lord, I pray that you would just wipe that away, Father, and show them how wonderful and how beautiful they are, God. Lord, I pray for each one of us in this room, every mom especially, that we would all realize that it's never too late. It's never too late. We never stop being parents, and that they can continue on until their children are old, Lord, being their mom. And we just thank you, God, once again, for every one of these women that are standing, Lord. Lord, as they're standing also, we just lift up anyone in this room that maybe this is a very difficult weekend. Lord, maybe there's someone in this room that's lost a baby or just had difficulty having a baby. Lord, we lift them up, God. Pray the God of all peace and comfort and healing would come and restore and bring healing, bring hope, God. Pray for anyone in this room who's lost a mother. Lord, I pray that as your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God, that you would be the God of all comfort and peace in their lives and do what only you can do, God, and just be there with them. Your word says you're close to the brokenhearted, Lord. And Lord, for any other person in this room that might just experience just negative feelings towards this, God, I pray that you would just do a work inside of them and just touch their lives, Lord, that they might experience a freedom from those feelings, God. We thank you, God. We love you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.